Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for being with us here today on the program, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. In segment two, we're going to get an early preview of the upcoming Farm Progress Show this summer in Iowa. Matt Youngman, Farm Progress Show Manager, is going to join us in segment two. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, with the news coming out here earlier in the week with the massive legislation, the aid package passed in Congress for aid to Ukraine, Israel, etc. That also included a potential ban on TikTok. Well, it did include a ban on TikTok. We're going to talk about some of the benefits, though, of that social media platform to a Texas cattle rancher. I recently talked to Brian Firebaugh, known as the cattle guy on TikTok. We're going to listen to part of that conversation coming up here after the bottom of the hour. It's a very interesting one. Then at the end of the show, we're going to talk about the shift from the brick-and-mortar ag dealership to a little more on-farm service. Stefan Kaspari with AgCo is going to join us for that conversation at the end of the show. Brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for fleet operations and farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your trucks on the road. Learn more online at cenex.com. Well, joining us now and in the spirit of the NFL draft kicking off on Thursday, now on the clock, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, thanks for joining us here on the show again this week. How are you?
Doing great. I'm about the 33rd round for a placement kicker.
I would probably be right there with you. I am at this point too slow to play offensive tackle like I did in high school and tried to at college. So I would probably be down there with you as well. Let's talk markets. This wheat trade looking like a little more green early on Thursday. This week has been quite a ride to the upside in the wheat markets, and it sounds like a lot of it's tied to weather concerns in the U.S. and over in Europe and Russia. What's your latest perspective on this rally in the wheat trade, Mike?
It's going to get a lot noisier, I think, Jesse, because it is mainly weather, and the supply-demand fundamentals are going back and forth. And what I mean by that is it looks like the hard red wheat belt is in place and play for getting some much needed rains in central Kansas over to into Missouri. It looks like western Kansas and western western Nebraska and eastern Colorado, not so fortunate potentially, but I think that is probably something that opens up the downside. If we don't have support from the dollar, we don't have support from the corn market. We still have a substantial drought brewing in Russia, western parts of Russia, while the Urals and the far eastern areas are still dealing with record flooding, and Kazakhstan, big spring wheat country, is dealing with some issues as well from flooding in Russia. So it's a very noisy market because it's mostly weather driven. We did see Taiwan purchase U.S. wheat out of the Pacific Northwest overnight. That helped us. I think what I'm looking at mostly is getting the U.S. dollar to break to the downside and relieve the tensions on the demand side of the equation, especially with pretty light, another light week on the weekly export sales reported this morning.
Wheat moving higher, quarter beans have kind of been pulled higher with this wheat-led rally, but it feels like to some degree quartered soybeans, Mike, have had some of that rally capped by maybe some farmers selling here in the U.S. and even in South America as well.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think the futures market may be starting to open up a little bit in terms of we still have issues in Argentina. We are getting some very heavy rains projected here in this part of the country and heading over into areas of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, potentially, that could really stall out an already slow planting pace. I would not be surprised, given the fact with Argentina and the export sales in corn up 74% versus the four-week average, soybeans down 29% versus the four-week average, that we see, with the help of South American prices, the trade maybe open up buying corn and selling beans. That seems to be the trend starting as of yesterday. It's continued this morning. In fact, that lead month corn bean spread now is at about a 6 month high as we open up the day today.
It's to your point with that dollar and more, I've been wanting to continue to see the follow through here in this grain trade across the board the last few days, and gotten it for the most part in wheat. But I'm also wondering, will the other shoe drop on us here at some point, Mike?
Yeah, and we got GDP figures today, and we also got PCE inflation numbers as well. And that's what the Fed's going to look at. The GDP number was very disappointing coming in at, I think, 1.6%. And the trade was thinking well over 2% for the first quarter. I think this should open up the downside into the dollar mindset, the dollar bulls who are expecting this soft landing coming from the U.S. So that's something I'll be looking at between now and the end of the week. And I said corn bean spread a minute ago. I meant corn bean ratio for those who are really looking at it.
Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, with us. Mike, let's go to livestock. And cattle started the week great, but then more HPAI concerns in the news cycle. USDA announcing testing on Wednesday, new federal orders there. But this cattle market looks a little, futures anyway, look a little on edge with the HPAI back at the news cycle.
Yeah, this brings in the noisiness of the market. And what I mean by that is expect continued high volatility. I was hoping after the cattle on feed report, and that's suggesting a feeder cattle led price low, especially given the premium those cash feeders have been holding against the futures, Jesse, hoping to see those feeder cattle lead the fats higher and then come in with some really strong fat cattle cash prices as we open up the summer grilling season. This really puts everything kind of on hold, and we're waiting for more information. I think this place I'm starting with clients and subscribers right now is let's watch those lows from before the cattle on feed report last Friday, 174.58 in June fats, 241.13 in May feeders. Wouldn't want to see those taken out on a closing basis.
I know this, though, too. I watch the cash market. Cash markets, for the most part, still just kind of been churning along, not really paying that much attention to the news cycle, it would seem.
No, and that's the healthy side of this equation. I was hoping we'd put some air behind us when it came to the HPAI versus the cash markets. And the export sales this morning, beef 3% down from the four-week average, with China being our number one buyer. Good numbers again for the beef side of the equation.
Mike, hogs under some pressure too. Any notes there for us real quick?
Yeah, I think the export sales, we're kind of at price levels now in the summer with the stronger dollar. We probably need to feed the bull. And those export sales came in 25% below the four-week average. China's still our number four buyer. We'll see what we do technically on the charts here today. But that June chart, looking that closely, because it sure is shaping up to be more like a double top look to me, Jesse. So kind of like to get some bullish news to break through that.
Mike, if folks want to reach out to you, I know they can find you easily online. Where can they find you at?
GlobalComResearch.com. It's GlobalCom with two M's, research.com.
Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Always appreciate a conversation, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
All right. Mike Zuzulo there with Global Commodity Analytics here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment subject to wear, Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at Cenex.com. On the way next, we'll talk with Matt Youngman, Farm Progress Show Manager. Get an early preview of this summer's Farm Progress Show next on AOA. Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game on the operation, especially during a busy spring planting season. Cenex Premium Diesel will help you keep your trucks and equipment on the road and in the field. Learn more online at cenex.com. Well, you might ask yourself, Jesse, why are you talking about the Farm Progress Show? That is not until later this summer. Well, preparations are already underway for the summer's premier farm show in Boone, Iowa, coming up this August, and we want to talk about that. Joining us now, Farm Progress Show Manager Matt Youngman is with us here on AOA. Matt, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Jesse. I'm doing great. How's everything with you?
You know, things are going good. Things are going good. As I know, spring is in the air, but of course, you know, summer not too far around the corner. And as I mentioned, you know, Farm Progress Show, it's going to be here before we know it, back in Iowa this year, just outside Boone on the show grounds, August 27th through the 29th. And I know that you have been busy and the folks on your team have been busy with things such as getting that those plots planted for the demo sessions, et cetera, right, Matt?
That is exactly right. You know, if you look back 2 years ago, the last time we were in Boone, we weren't able to get the corn in the ground until May 19th. And that pushed us back and we weren't able to have field demonstrations because the corn wasn't ready. Well, we're in about the exact opposite position right now. The corn went in perfectly. All of it was in the ground by about 11 p.m. on April 11th. That was a wonderful text that I got that Friday night, saying that all the field demo corn is planted there at the Farm Progress Show. So that's great news. It puts us in, you know, the best possible position to be able to run those machines in person when folks come to the show. And you know, you have unveilings that have happened through the year, whether it was at National Farm Machinery Show or commodity classic, where, you know, just to name a few, Case IH came out with a new Class 11 combine, and John Deere unveiled their new high horsepower four-wheel drive tractor and their new S7 combines. All those things will be running alongside, you know, tillage tools and autonomous machines and drones of all shapes and sizes, as well as the ride and drives and all the other cool stuff that happens out in those fields. So getting the crop in the ground is the great foundation for all of that.
Well, I think about this too, and you mentioned it and you hit on it, a very great point. So many different pieces of equipment have been rolled out at recent winter shows, and really over the last couple of years, we've just seen this explosion of new equipment, digital technology, autonomous technology, and a lot of that is to your point, on display across the 3 days of the show. And in some cases, some of that new technology does get rolled out at the Farm Progress Show, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah, there are actually a lot of most companies, they hold back all their stuff and unveil it at the show, because there's a lot of folks like you, Jeffy, that are at the show. Not only is it the largest gathering of their customers, of the farmers, but it's also the largest gathering in the media. So they utilize the show for a number of things. You know, first and foremost is to have conversations with their customers, but then secondarily, there's a lot of media there. There's a lot of Wall Street investors that are there evaluating the publicly traded companies that are there, a lot of international visitors. And then they're also having a lot of work conversations. You know, it's a place where all the movers and shakers are all in Boone for those 3 days. And so there's a lot of kind of behind the scenes business deals that get done. So, regardless of how you're looking at it, there's a whole lot of focus on the show. And so it takes a lot of effort in the background to make sure that everything works seamlessly. We want to make sure that when the visitors come, it looks like we didn't do anything. That means everything worked seamlessly and they had a great day at the show.
Well, I know behind the scenes work going on. Not only did the plots get planted, but I know you and your team meeting with a lot of those companies, vendors, et cetera, here right now in preparation for this August, right, Matt?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've had several meetings there on site. One of the things we're working on is a new traffic route in from the north. So the visitors who typically come down I-35, and gone all the way to Highway 30. We've got a whole new route in from the north. The DOT put in an overpass over the rail line, which makes it safe now for us to have a posted route in from the north. And it should relieve the congestion on Highway 30 and just generally make the flow into the show a lot smoother. Things like that are kind of always in the works, and that's a big one that we get to talk about now. But, we had our vendor exhibitor day, so a lot of our biggest exhibitors came in and met with their tent companies and electricians and landscapers, and have already begun the layout and the planning for what they're going to build through the month of August.
We are talking with Matt Youngman, show manager for the Farm Progress Show, which is going to be happening in Boone, Iowa this year, August 27th through the 29th. And Matt, you mentioned that improvement with that traffic route from the north. That'll be a huge advantage, I would think, for that Boone site. And I know in recent years, too, much like the site in Decatur, Illinois, you guys have put in a lot of investment, a lot of improvements on the grounds as well. I think about the Varied Industries tent, for instance, and some of that soy asphalt that's been laid down, things like that. What are maybe some other highlights? Are there other improvements that we can look at or talk about here for the Boone site this year?
You know, it's funny to say this, but the best thing that ever happened to the Boone site was COVID. And because we weren't able to have a show in 2020. So we went from 2018 to 2022 between shows there in Iowa. And, the grass fully got established. The parking lots fully got established. And kind of all the growing pains going back to 2008 on that show site sort of healed themselves with an additional cycle off. So, the site has, I keep saying this, but the site has never looked better than it does today. The folks there are taking really good care of it, and the foundation is in place. You know, you talked about the asphalt on the surface there where the Varied Industries tent stands, which has made it a really first-class environment inside that Varied Industries tent. And I got to tell you, this is the time of year when I have my 900 piece puzzle in front of me that I'm laying out where the exhibitors go and all that kind of thing. And I'm excited to say that for indoor space, we're already sold out, and we're working on building a second varied industries tent. Some of the outdoor lot sizes are already sold out. We have a few of the larger ones left, but and those are just 40 by 70 lots that are left, but the big end cap positions are all taken. So, you know, it is already shaping up to be a full show. And you know, the last time we were there in 2022, there was still a little bit of remnant of COVID. That is certainly in the rearview mirror, and we're looking, I'm looking back to maps of 2012 and 2014, the last time that we were going to have a show site this fall.
Well, and you kind of answered my question there a little bit too. It sounds like if folks want to take part in this year's show, be an exhibitor, they're running out of time to reach out, maybe try and claim a space potentially here, because it sounds like, to your point, things are getting pretty full or already at capacity almost.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and you know, we're still trying to figure out how to wedge as many people in there as we can, and we still got a few spaces here and there, but yeah, for the most part. And you know, the thing about it is, it's all new folks. We're going to have a whole additional tent that are people that it's not necessarily expansions by people that everybody's familiar with. It's just whole new companies, and you know, with as much technology as farmers have to sort through, there are a whole lot of companies attached to that want to get some of their time at the Farm Progress Show. And it's stuff like autonomous machines and drones and cover crop solutions and electric vehicles, electric tractors, electric tools, and all of the things that go along with that. So, you know, it's kind of these new categories that technology that fall out of the sky from people's good ideas that are on display.
Well, Matt, I know if folks want more information, want to stay up to date on things happening with this year's Farm Progress Show, I'm sure online is probably the best way to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, farmprogressshow.com. You know, we're just now updating that website, actually. It's going to be a brand new layout here in a couple of weeks, but we'll start adding content as we approach the show and all these things get pinned down. But, you know, certainly looking forward to three great days there, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before Labor Day.
Well, and I enjoy the Iowa site a little bit more, not trying to be too biased, but it's a chance for me to go home. My hometown's only about an hour north of Boone. So looking forward to the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th this year in Boone, Iowa. With that, Matt Youngman, show manager for the Farm Progress Show. Matt, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us, and we'll stay in touch and talk with you again soon.
That sounds great. Thank you very much, Jesse.
Matt Youngman there with the Farm Progress Show, joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. On the way next, we're going to talk about the TikTok ban and get some perspective on what this could mean for one cattle rancher in Texas. We'll talk with Brian Firebaugh next on AOA.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Corn Wednesday saw that market correct from a three-day winning streak. Pressure in corn seemed to come from the weak energy markets and from the third consecutive week of declining ethanol production. With margins skimpy and maintenance downtime, ethanol production fell by 29,000 barrels per day to 954,000 barrels per day. That's down 3% from the previous week, and in the past 3 weeks, production's down 11%. The weakness comes despite conditions in central Brazil's Safrinha corn area that have seen the dry season arrive a bit earlier than expected, and just as corn is pollinating. The forecast remains mostly arid over the next few weeks. Additional pressure came from a report that bird flu was found in pasteurized milk and that the government would require dairy cows moving from one state to another to be tested for bird flu. Looking at soybeans, Brazil is reaching the final stages of its soy harvest, and Argentine farmers appear to be getting a respite from wet conditions to advance their harvest. That harvest is expected to reach 20 to 25% done by the end of the week. The Brazil soy basis is rising, but they continue to capture much of the world's soy export business. Soy export sales continue to run below USDA expectations for the U.S., and we'll get a new read on last week's sales on Thursday. For wheat, while western Kansas and much of the hard winter belt remain too dry, with falling crop conditions, some weather forecasts have a better chance for rain in the coming week. For the next 10 days, the forecast continues to look arid in southern Russia. Some analysts are already talking about a potential negative impact that could cut as much as 8 to 10 million metric tons from Russia's production. Also supportive to wheat are higher prices for wheat in India and more talk they might be forced to import as much as 3 to 5 million metric tons of wheat. I'm Jody Heemstra.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. Well, in recent days, of course, we saw the passage of the Ford aid package on Capitol Hill with aid to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, signed by President Biden. It also included a ban on social media platform TikTok. Well, unless the company is sold off, divested by its Chinese-tied ownership group within a certain amount of time. I believe it was 9 months. Well, this is an issue that is going to open an entire can of worms, in my opinion. I'm sure there's going to be legal challenges to this and much more in the days and weeks and months ahead. And I'll admit, I use TikTok. I will sit there and scroll and look at funny videos and come across some different ag businesses and influencers, as they're called. And, you know, I mean, I will admit I'm not the first to say that I am a massive lover of social media, and that's all platforms, but I'm on them and I do take part in them. Well, there are some people who have been able to build a pretty substantial living or add to their living on the platform. One of those, Brian Firebaugh, otherwise known as Cattle Guy on TikTok. He's a first-generation rancher in Central Texas, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. He's built a following of over 431,000 people on TikTok. I sat down with him recently for a conversation, and he shares with us what it has meant for his business and his family as he has built this following on TikTok. Let's listen into part of this conversation. You can find the full conversation on our website, agricultureofamerica.com, or on our YouTube channel. Right now, here is that conversation, starting with a little background on why Brian got involved with TikTok.
So I originally started actually on TikTok because as a first-generation rancher, marketing is everything. Trying to market your brand, get your brand out there, get your name out there. And so I got on TikTok to do exactly that. I noticed that when I was posting on Facebook, I would post a picture of our cow for sale, and it just wouldn't get a lot of views. But if I could post a video of a cow that we had for sale and walk around that cow and such, that I would all of a sudden get a lot more views. And so I thought, why don't I use that premise and go to a video platform in order to help market our cattle as well as our beef? And so that's what I did. And so as a first generation rancher, to be able to post a video and saying, I have beef for sale, and here's how it's raised, and here's how it's processed, and here's how it's going to get to you. And for a video like that to get, you know, 500,000 views was absolutely mind blowing for me. And it was free. I was like, this is such an amazing advertising platform for that aspect of it. And that's how it truly kind of helped jumpstart our business as a first generation rancher, which was proven to be very, very difficult up until that point.
Well, and I appreciate you setting that up because, yeah, I feel like for brand growth, and to your point about, you know, having something go viral and folks finding you and your operation, I think looking at some of the recent numbers from TikTok, the hashtag agriculture has over 2 million published videos and over 23 billion views. And I know that largely a younger generation especially has really gravitated toward TikTok to find a lot of news and connect with a lot of folks such as yourself, haven't they?
Absolutely. When you just kind of look at the app as itself, it seems like a lot of young Americans are actually going to the app, and that's their primary source of news and information that they're getting is from the app itself and from content creators on the app. But also just with the way that the app kind of works, based upon the algorithm, it shows you kind of what it is you want to see and what it is that you interact with. And so that's kind of really interesting in that aspect, because I can sit there on the app and I can say, hey, I have this beef or I have this cow for sale. And the people that are going to see that are people that are interested in that type of stuff, where normally on the other social media platforms, you would have to pay for that kind of targeted advertisements and such. And so this was just mind blowing, where, you know, it's a lot of young Americans are actually coming to get their information directly right from the source, directly from the producers, directly from the farmers and the ranchers and the cowboys and the cowgirls and stuff out there that are actively living the life, doing the jobs. And they're getting educated directly from those folks and not from a textbook anymore.
Well, and I know that there's plenty of folks out there who believe there's a lot of misinformation, not just on TikTok, but other social media. And I know that's one of the concerns, I think, that have been, you know, thrown out there from folks. But if, say, TikTok were to go away, if it were to get banned in the U.S., how big of an impact would that have on you and your operation, Brian?
It would. Honestly, it would probably take me back a good 5 years. I would literally have to go back 5 years and start doing my advertising again and start utilizing a lot of money and targeting ads, you know, go back to those archaic, you know, social media platforms such as Facebook and Instagram, and trying to go back to those types of things and try and get my name out there again. It would be absolutely devastating. I would probably have to end up going back to another corporate job. You know, it's our newly adoptive son would have to be raised by other people. And it would be truly devastating to our way of life, because most of our customers and everything comes directly from the TikTok platform. I've got 430,000 followers. So when I post something, I mean, that's a pretty big audience when you consider that the Super Bowl had 60,000 people in attendance. It's like, that's a pretty good captive audience right there. of potential very interested customers. And so for that to just simply go away, needing to find all of those people again in order to sustain our current way of life, it'd be devastating. It would take years, absolute years, to try and build that back up. And so at the very least, 5 years.
So what would you say if you were to, you know, have, I don't want to call it an elevator pitch, but I can't think of anything else to put with it. But, you know, what would you say to folks who maybe are out there listening and they are hearing all these different things in the news cycle about TikTok? And there's a lot of times folks, you know, on Capitol Hill that listen to the show and more. I mean, what would you tell them? What would you really drive home to them as there's a lot of talk in the U.S. right now about TikTok potentially going away? What would you say to them, Brian?
Well, I would say to the politicians and stuff that have been supporting this stuff, you can go kick rocks. You're basing a decision based upon fear. It is un-American. It's cowardice. That is something that communists do, is they want to censor messages being shared to the public because they can't control it, or they believe that it is misinformation and stuff. And I believe that is simply un-American, and they need to go kick rocks. Now, as far as when talking to the American people, I do believe that there are some legitimate concerns that have been brought up regarding this social media platform. But ultimately, when you take a look at those legitimate concerns that they're bringing up, such as misinformation, you know, that's across all the social media platforms. It's just, and basically the exact same time that, you know, everyone gets so tired of censorship in social media, now we're wanting to censor social media. And it's just like, you've got to find your balance someplace. They're also fearful of data leaks. You know, that's been one of the things that was shared, you know, is our data being shared to, you know, communist China and stuff at that period of time. And it's like, okay, but we're not at all worried about how it's also being shared across the other social media platforms. It was like, I firmly do believe that we do need to start looking at, you know, behaviors of fear. So if we're actually fearful of national security, you know, information and stuff being shared, it's like, then let's focus on that. It's, you know, but banning the tool because you're afraid of the tool, just that doesn't seem like the smartest thing to do, especially considering 170 million American users are on this app and actively use this app, and over 7 million small businesses, which is the backbone of our entire country, are actively using this app in a very beneficial way to market and promote their businesses. I mean, and if this is to go away, that's 7 million businesses that are negatively impacted in a severe way. That is greatly going to impact us. So I do believe we do need to look at the legitimate fears associated with all of social media. I mean, let's face it, there are parents out there that are worried about what their kids are seeing on TikTok. It's like, well, you should be worried about what your kids are seeing on Facebook and Instagram as well. But the minute that you start asking the federal government to come in and to control what it is that your kids are seeing, you're actively giving up your parental rights to the federal government. And when is that ever been a good idea? This just isn't smart. Why just go after TikTok? Because it's controlled by China, but it's not. You know, it's so, it's again, it comes to fear, and trying to ban it based upon fear is un-American. It just doesn't make sense. It's like, let's face this thing head on. Let's try and tackle the actual problem that is out there across everything that's out there. Let's face it, you apply for a credit card and I'm getting phone calls every day about my car warranty just because I applied for a credit card. It's like, let's take a look at the actual problems of where these data brokers and how this information is being shared. Let's go after the targeted behavior instead of, you know, these platforms that America business and economy is actively using in order to try and stay afloat right now in this terrible economy.
Once again, my full conversation with Brian Fireball, otherwise known as Cattle Guy on TikTok. You could find that at agricultureofamerica.com. Find our YouTube channel or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'll say this. I think we have far bigger issues to deal with in this country than banning TikTok. Maybe, you know, how much money we're spending on our debt every single day. The southern border. there's a lot of other issues I think are more important. That's just my opinion. Take it or leave it. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about more on-farm service versus having to go to the dealership for parts, etc. with Stefan Kaspari from AGCO. He joins us next on AOA, brought to you by SEDEX, right after this.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
A promise is potent, born of intention, fueled by commitment. It's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more online at cenex.com. Well, as we wrap up the show today, we've been seeing an increasing shift to more on-farm service versus that brick-and-mortar dealership here in recent years. Many companies have been adopting that method and technology for farmer service. We're going to talk about AGCO's perspective on this here today. Joining us now, he is the Senior Vice President of Customer Success and Business Effectiveness for AGCO. Stefan Kaspari is with us here. Stefan, thanks for joining us on the show. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, Jesse. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. I know AGCO, of course, one of many companies embracing kind of digital technology and a little more on-farm service, trying to alleviate some of the stress for farmers. You know, if they go down with a breakdown during planting season, harvest, et cetera, those hours lost, that downtime is so costly. And you know, a lot of times farmers would have to hop in the truck and drive to the dealership, get a part, et cetera, et cetera. But companies like AGCO, you guys are bringing a lot more on-farm service to help with some of these breakdowns. And I know that's a big change here in the ag industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. As we define customer success, it's one part is having, I think, the right equipment in the market that helps farmers drive their net farm income. But on the other hand, driving uptime. Uptime of machine is the most important piece during these kind of short windows, during harvest, during planting season. And we have done a lot of things in the past in optimizing our parts supply, having basically best supply rates in the industry. But now we're thinking about how do we bring all these kind of different services to the farm, to the farmer on their farm, right? And in the kind of situation like that, as you said, typically the farmer has to kind of stop work, drive to the shop, maybe bring the machine in, wait for a part. So this could be all very cumbersome again if rain is on the horizon and you need to get things done. So we have basically thought about how can we optimize that and get our dealers, our services closer to the farm, pretty much on site. And in order to get there, we're trying to use different tools, as you said. One element of tools is definitely using digital solutions. But the other one is also using mobile solutions. So we kind of define that as PharmaCore. This is pretty much our next generation delivery distribution approach that should help our dealers to get closer in closer proximity to farmers. And there are three elements in that model. The first one is the on-farm service solution. So we offer our dealers now the solution to basically leverage more service trucks versus investing into heavy assets like brick and mortar stores. So how you bring that easier and faster to the farm, service trucks is the answer here. We also want to kind of then leverage a much smarter network coverage because you still need parts, supply, service base maybe in the field. But think about the typical basically huge dealership that has the experience center, that has a service center, that has a parts warehouse. How can you maybe modularize that and in a hub and spoke model, bring smaller parts of that into the field, again, supported by mobile service trucks. And last but not least, big element is the digital engagement. So how can you give farmers then 24/7 access to all these different tools, starting from the purchase of the machines to the service piece, but also to the aftermarket and used machine equipment. So there's different ways how you can address that. But the general idea is, we bring services, we bring tools, we bring support on farm.
Well, and you made a couple great points there that I want to discuss a little bit more with you. Now, I think about the old adage of, you know, the brick and mortar store, and you mentioned that. you know, I grew up in rural northern Iowa, and a lot of times you knew when you were, you know, getting to the next town, because the first thing you would see is that big implement dealership on the edge of town. You know, big cities, you might see car dealerships. Well, in this case, in rural America, you see that big implement dealer, you know, in that brick and mortar store, the big lot. Not to say that those are going to go away, but just thinking of how we're evolving in the ag industry, and to your point with FarmerCore being launched here, bringing some of those mobile solutions and it being a little more lean and mean, so to speak, you know, kind of being able to be in multiple places and have a wider footprint and not necessarily be tied to that brick and mortar store, I think is so key, isn't it, Stefan?
Absolutely. And the kind of the solution or the situation you're describing is nothing different like in Europe and Germany, where I grew up. I grew up on a farm as well, and it was exactly the same thing. So you always had to drive big store, again, big investment for the dealer. He has to kind of, again, fill all these brick and mortar. He has to maintain it. Well, a service truck comes at a fraction of that cost, while he can still deliver the same service, the same support to the farmer, or maybe even better, because again, the farmer has the benefit that he doesn't need to stop and need to drive somewhere. The kind of dealer can, because the machines are now connected, we have service codes, we know what kind of things are not working, what parts have broken. So you bring that directly to the farm, no waiting time, support right where it's needed, and back into the field.
And I think a lot of this evolution as well tied to just the growth in technology and the interconnectivity and the connectivity that we have in our equipment on the farm. That aspect, that evolution, Stefan, has really played a crucial role here, you know, with in multiple avenues on the farm, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I touched on that a little bit right now. Again, the majority of the equipment that is on the farm, the tractor, the planter, the combine, is what we call connected. So there's multiple sensors on it that are not measuring only the agronomy performance, but also the machine performance. We know pretty much at every point in time what the kind of performance criteria of the machines are. And we know pretty much every time when something breaks, where it breaks, because we have failure and error codes that are showing up. And this kind of data stream should help our dealers to come again well prepared on the farm with the right technical equipment, with the right parts that are required, with the right service technicians to get the equipment going back into the field. So this machine connectivity will actually enable our dealers and our customers to kind of get that system working and really kind of having that proximity on the farm based on all these different tools.
Learn more online, agcocorp.com. With that, Stefan Kaspari with AgCo. Stefan, thanks for joining us today. We're out of time here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
As planting season begins across the country, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to follow the basic steps for seed treatment stewardship. Follow directions on seed container labeling. Eliminate weeds in the field prior to planting. Minimize dust by using advanced seed flow lubricants. Be aware of honeybees and hives located near the field. Ensure that any spilled seeds are removed or covered by soil to protect wildlife and the environment. And remove all treated seed left in equipment. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.